You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 3.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy!
Hello, this is your host, Kimberly Maska. On today's Mind, Body, Spirit Marketing Strategies, we have joining us Holly Duckworth. Holly is the CEO of Leadership Solutions International, where she touches thousands of lives by teaching heart-centered leadership. She is an international speaker and a member of the National Speakers Association. Holly, so thank you and welcome to Mind, Body, Spirit Marketing Strategies. How are you today?
Good, Kim. Thanks for having me on your show.
Fantastic. So I know you have well over 10 years of experience in leadership and talking about leadership and public speaking. What was your story behind your personal story behind getting into what is now your passion and your livelihood?
As many of your readers probably know or listeners know, and certainly a lot of the folks that you've interviewed, I would say my life has been a series of do what you love and then love it a little more. And then you trip and you fall and you pick yourself up and you do it again. I just sort of fell into loving leadership. And I started out as a meeting and event planner. I was a meeting planner for 10 years. Absolutely loved that, but really felt a calling to do something more. I was recruited by a company to do leadership training. Loved that, traveled the world, speaking, coaching, teaching nonprofit leaders how to lead their organization. And then in 2010, Spirit said, you're limiting the people that you can serve by only working for this one company. Now's the time for you to take this worldwide. And so I just kept following what I love. And now mostly speaking, but really starting to add consulting and my book into the works.
Fantastic. Isn't it great when life just brings you what you want? That's always such a beautiful thing.
Well, and I would say that it's really finding the courage to ask for it. That yeah. I would say early on in my career, it was really just bouncing from one thing to the next. And now it's really kind of, I have my own internal strategy, my guidance system that says, okay, this is who I am, this is what I want, and then really getting the courage to ask for the support.
That's great.
In the business community and in the spiritual community as well.
So how do you differentiate yourself from other speakers that kind of follow in your same path of what you're doing? What would you say? How do you market yourself to make you different?
I am who I am, who I am, who I am. You can't get much more authentic than me. I think a lot of people focus on building a unique strategy. And for me, it's more just being the unique strategy. That most of my clients say the reason they hire me is for my energy. And, you know, I certainly think differently than a lot of folks. So really sharing myself authentically on my Twitter feed, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and really just being my authentic self on the stage builds that marketing strategy for me. I certainly play with color a lot. Now, electric blue is my signature color. Mm-hmm. I think being deliberate and intentional about some of that stuff, but really, truly having the courage to just jump out there and put your whole self out there becomes a natural marketing tool.
Are there any specific challenges that you find with marketing yourself to your ideal client?
The answer is embedded in the question there. For me, the challenge is narrowing that ideal client. Leadership, spirituality, in my humble opinion, are things that everybody is.
Right.
Everybody naturally needs. So you're absolutely right that the best brands are very targeted. That's my challenge, is working on this book. Really, this first book was designed for nonprofit leaders, people who run 501c6 and 501c3 nonprofits. Embedded in that niche is enough gold for sharing for lifetime. But keeping that focus, I think, is actually one of the most powerful things that we have to do as mind, body, spirit entrepreneurs.
Yeah. How are you keeping that focus?
I'm really just trying to focus in on my message right now and really refining it. The book is called Control Alt Belief, and I don't know that I do a really good job with that. I'm picking four keywords that I think are my tags, if you will: business, association business, spirituality, and technology. Okay. And I'm listing off the top 10 influencers in those four. And my intention is to be intentional about following them on social media and creating dialogue with those. Yeah, it's 40 people, but that's how I'm going to at least try to keep my focus on business, association, business, spirituality. And
that's a fantastic strategy, actually. I think that's a beautiful way to do it. If you know who you're like and who their audience is, then you know where you should be. So in the past, I know you're still dealing with who your ideal client is and how to get to them, but what's been your best marketing strategy that you've used so far for your current clients?
I'm all law of attraction all the way.
Okay.
So, you know, I'll sit in meditation for as long as it takes. You know, spirit, who do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to serve? And how do you want me to serve? And I will sit there with a blank contract until the message comes through to me. And then I plant that seed and I water it, meaning I don't have attachment to it showing up today, but starting to, again, put myself in that conversation. So, for example, maybe I do a meditation and spirit says to me, I'd like you to serve a company with outdoor recreation, and spirit will give me a number. Contract mm-hmm. is X dollars. And I just write it down. And then I might open to the possibility of doing more outdoor recreational things, or, you know, being in an REI or that kind of conversation. And then I listen for the opportunity to show up. So it's not a traditional strategy, but something that resonates with your audience.
That's fantastic. You know, and I think we overlook that. Sometimes we get so caught up in it should be this, it should be that. We don't take the time to quiet down and see where the universe and spirit says we should be. We're listening to the outside. And so I think that's really fantastic that you're listening on the inside. That's so important.
And if you know where people hear your voice, putting yourself in that place, like for many years, I kind of pushed away women audiences. That wasn't really my desire to speak to women, but women hear my voice. Women are connecting to my story and my authenticity. So now I've kind of had to open up to the possibility, and I've had a couple of all women, you know, CEO groups as a result of that.
I know you're busy on social media. So what works best for you, and what are you using? What do you find is the best tactic for you to reach your audience?
Go where they are. And if we're going with my primary audience being association leadership folks, nonprofit folks, they're still finding their way through technology. You know, oftentimes they have lower budgets. It's harder for them to get the most cutting edge devices. The tool that I leverage, probably not as well as I could, but is where most of my actual business comes from, is LinkedIn, the Rolodex of business professionals on the online platform. And then I do a ton of Facebook, but Facebook for me is really just that authentic place that people connect to me. I post a blog every couple of days on business and leadership, more and more quotes and images on spirituality. Those are my two favorite tools. I do have Twitter. Probably about 10,000 people that follow me on Twitter. For me, microblogging, that 140 characters is a little bit long, but more and more emerging businesses are there. And right. I think if you haven't at least looked at Clout, KLOUT, that is a tool that aggregates your social media influence. And if you're looking to grow your mind, body, and spirit business, now would be a time to start looking at what is your number now? And if you have a Twitter account, you automatically have a Clout account, and start looking to grow that. The average Clout influencer is probably between 20 and 30. A 70 is considered expert or influential online, and I think I'm about a 74 or 76. So that's a key number if you're looking to grow your online presence, because it's the aggregate of all the tools that you use.
That's fantastic. That's great advice. Thank you for sharing with that. So how do you get new leads then? So you're all about the law of attraction and people coming to you, or are you specifically out there trying to get new leads for speaking engagements or consulting?
I know it sounds sort of funny, but I'm not the hardcore dialing for dollars gal. I'm starting again to distribute my monthly newsletter. So clients will come through that. I have an autoresponder, which is it's called 52associationtips.com. And so that's free. People join on that and they get a tip a week from me for a whole year on leadership. So people come through my company on that. And really, it's just being out there, both online and in my community. I don't keep a whole huge Rolodex of potential leads. I know that sounds sort of weird, but I think that will change as the book comes out. But so we have to keep in mind that, you know, what's the breadth of our business and how big do we really want to be? And I choose this lifestyle for having a life and not having to be behind my computer 800 hours a week.
And that's how it should be, right? So you mentioned your book. So tell us a little about your book and how you plan on publishing it and marketing it and how you see getting it out to the masses and who is it for specifically?
Well, all wonderful questions, all in massive adaptation. I just spent last Friday and Saturday at a program called Author University, which was designed by my editor, Judith Bryles, as a 2-day event to help authors look at their business in that way. And for me, the book is only a small piece of a larger pie. So I'm still developing that. In fact, you know, back to my list of, you know, 10 times 4, I definitely am working on the genre. I'm not a person who likes to fit in boxes. And evidently, if you're going to have a book on a shelf, it has to go in a box on the shelf. So part of it is, I think this first book has to go in business. I'd really like it to go in spirituality, but trying to understand how it can be a crossover book in that way. Then from there, I want to do a virtual book tour. Have you heard of this?
No, tell me more.
I'm just learning about it, but the idea is 30 to 45 day intensive virtual book tour. So you're setting up, say, 15 or 20 stops, just like you do like a traditional book tour, but your stop might be an online conversation like this could be a stop, like we're having a podcast conversation, but you do an intense one for maybe, you know, 15 stops over the course of 30 days where I might be on Louise Hay's show one day. I might be on an Inc. magazine show the next day. So that's one of the marketing strategies that I'm looking at developing for the book. And it's really all that same, the details.
Yep.
Book cover, making sure the cover design matches me and my brand, making sure the content in the book is great. Blogging, that was a huge thing over this weekend. Video and audio blogging. And I think that's one of my learnings right now is opening your heart, if you will, to letting people love you and your message. And I know that my message happens to be speaking on a platform. Maybe that's not true for all of your listeners, but whether you're a financial planner or a massage therapist, that we all have to really truly open our hearts to letting our clients come in and love us and nourish us as we nourish them with the good that we give to the world.
I love the idea of the virtual book tour, though. So save a lot of time and effort, but reach so many more people.
It's just like anything. We've got to be strategic. There'll be a lot of pre-work to put on all those stops because you're going to have to have, you know, 15 deep relationships with people who let you on their show.
Right.
Or their guest blogging or that type of thing. The expert that was sharing this was saying she thinks it's better for more story type books, more romance novels, that kind of thing. So she doesn't actually recommend it for business books. But again, I tend to go where the road is untraveled and make a trail.
As we all should. So looking back on your journey, if you had to do it all over again, what would you change?
I really think just really that truly that philosophy of being willing to fail. Because so many of us, we go into business with this success all the time mantra. And what I know is true for me is the times that I have been challenged, or maybe the project didn't go exactly the way I thought I would, or didn't have as many people in the audience or reading the blog, those are the times that I learned the most. I would have probably started my board of directors earlier. I have a little board of mastermind folks who are dedicated to me and my business. I would have asked for help more because even now yesterday a speaker's bureau called and we were chatting back and forth and she mentioned Tom Zender, who wrote the book, God Goes to Work. He's not speaking anymore, but his message, God and Work, is sort of with mind, spirituality, and business. And I asked her to introduce us, and we have a call tomorrow. So, I mean, asking for help earlier, I think, would have grown myself, my brand, and my ability to serve more people sooner.
I think that's the one thing. As entrepreneurs, we all seem to fail at. We seem to think we can do it all ourselves, but it's impossible. And we do so much better when we have a team with us. Even if it's just people to bounce ideas off of, that's so important.
people often get this bootstrap mentality as an entrepreneur, this lack, you know, oh, I could never hire a PR firm or this or that, that I think the more that I'm willing to invest in myself and my brand at the highest level, the more that comes back to me. Because if I'm giving in circulation to other providers for me, they're giving in circulation back. And I've just always, the more I do that, the better off I am. It's, you know, oh, I'll do the $99 website. Well, you get what you pay for is really, truly true, I've found, in making powerful investments in my company.
Right. So what is your next step in your platform building of yourself?
One step back, two steps forward. For my intuition, it was very important to me when I started my company that it was not hollyduckworth.com, but Leadership Solutions International. I really want to build an entity that could outlive my own life experience. And right now, hollyduckworth.com and Leadership Solutions International are a mirror. They're the same website. And so I'm going to go back and build out hollyduckworth.com and do kind of what I just recommended that your listeners do, which is put yourself out there fully. Not that I haven't already done that, but I've never just really done it under just my name. So that's my next step.
I'm excited to see where that goes. Do you have any last bit of advice to my listeners, that some little golden nugget that you've learned that you would like to pass along?
Be willing to sit in the silence with it. Even the experts, we all write these books and we do the audio programs and the classes and the teachers, but nobody knows your business and your calling and your heart like you. And the more you lean into that and ask for help, the better off and faster your business will grow.
And so if someone wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way for my listeners to find you out there?
Well, I'm on all the social media platforms. Probably the easiest way to find me is Leadership Solutions, intl.com or hollyduckworth.com. And you'll find my Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and everything right there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been fantastic and a ton of information. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you will find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.